Keep your Bibles open to Psalm chapter 8. And I just want to very quickly touch on or highlight a few verses for us to have an understanding before we go on to our main subject. And I particularly want to mention those very intimate terms in this chapter and also in other chapters that we have studied. It is a representation of Christ and His church. And I want to particularly mention concerning the spiritual message behind those verses. For example, in verses 6 to 7, set me as a seal. It is an image of security, because a seal marks something that is authentic, belonging to an important person. And so the people of God, since they are profoundly value Christ, they desire to know His love and the power, are permanently committed to their good. And here in verse 8, yeah, this is the one that I want to bring up. The intimate terms is referring to, Solomon is using sexual immaturity to represent people not ready for spiritual fruitfulness. That is what it meant here when Solomon used such terms in verse 8. And that it may also refer to the Gentile nations, all right, who for the most part have not yet been brought into the church, into the family of God before Christ's ascension. So the church seeking Christ's love leads it to pray for others to be brought into union with Christ. So these are the few things there that I want to bring up when you read such terms here. This book, as I said before, it is not concerning two lovers, a man and a woman in love, and it is not talking about that. It, mainly the spiritual message behind is concerning Christ's love for His church, His people, as and also the love of God's people for Christ. And so right now we come to this final chapter of Song of Solomon. And for this afternoon's short meditation, I will try to make it short. The love, the subject is the love that cannot or never be able to be purchased. The love that cannot be purchased. Or if you want to shorten the title of this sermon, we can call it The Unpurchasable Love. And the text is from 6 to 7. And mainly I want to speak from the middle part of verse 7. Let us read from verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thy arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can flood drown it. Here is the part that I want to concentrate. And that is, if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it means to say to give all the treasures and all the earthly things that you can give for love, it would utterly be contempt. And so verse 7 is a general truth. It applies to all forms of love. Or rather, should I say, all forms of real love. You cannot purchase love. If it is true or genuine love, love that comes from the heart, nothing else can exchange or procure it. Men and women may give all the substance of their house and to form a marriage bond.
The bond may be there. The marital relationship may be there. But only true love will sweeten or strengthen the marriage bond.
Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares, if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt, means to be despised. For instance, let's take the case of a mother's love for a child. She loves her own child, especially because it is her own. It is her flesh and blood. She watches over it with diligent care. She denies sleep or forgoes sleep, the necessary sleep that she needs. If her child be sick, she is willing to forego that, give up her sleep to care for the sick child. And she would be ready to part with her own life sooner than it should die. She is willing to go to that extent. Bring the mother another person's child, someone else's children, and even pay her with money or whatever to induce her to love another person's child, not her own. And you shall find it is not in her power to transfer her affection to that child, to that son, or to that daughter of a stranger. It is not possible. Her own child is exceedingly precious to her than someone else's children or someone else's child. She may, with an unprejudiced eye, look upon someone else's child that is not hers with compassion. She may. And show tenderness to that child. But that child can never receive the complete or total love that belongs to her own offspring. Take another case. In our human level, between friends, love between friends. The moment either party or both put a price tag to that friendship, to that companionship, it would spoil it all. Straight away inside the heart, you will stir up this emotion that this is fake or this is not true. The very thought of anything like payment on one side or receipt upon the other would have been a death blow to that friendship. No, if a man should give all his substance, all the treasures that he can offer up, even for human love, for the common love that exists between man and man, it would utterly be contempt. And this principle is preeminently true when we get into a higher plane or a higher level of love. When we come to think of the love of Jesus, of Christ our Savior, and when we think of that love which springs up in the human heart towards the Lord Jesus, when the Spirit of God does that work of renewing our hearts and shed abroad the love of God within our hearts or within our soul, neither Christ's love to us nor our love to Him can be purchased. Neither of those can be traded for gold, rubies, diamonds, and you name it. And even the most precious crystal. If a man should offer up all the substance of his house. For either of these forms of love, it would utterly be despised. We begin with our first head. Christ's love for his church can never be purchased. Christ's love for his church can never be purchased. And again, I'm sure you understand when the word church is not referring to this building, the church referring to the people of God, the bride. This is the highest manifestation of love. This reality will be clear to us if we give a deeper and a fuller thought to it. And so we ask, why is this love impossible to purchase? First of all, because it is inconceivable that God, holy, pure, just, righteous, could be money-oriented or greedy or covetous. It would profane, surely, it would amount to blasphemy and a very high degree of it to suppose that the love of God's heart could be bought with gold, silver, precious stone, or exchanged with earthly goods. No. If God's love, if God loves, it must be free. All free. Like his royal or his sovereign self. Because he is God. If God condescends to cast his eye so far down as to view us poor, unworthy, sinful, undeserving creatures, and to set his love upon us so that his delights, his joy are with the sons of men, it is not possible that God could gain anything from any one of us, human. Even if we are angels, we could not think that we could love him because of some service, some good work that we have done or render to him, or some price we could pay to him. The bare idea runs cross and counter to all we know of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. It is a flat contradiction of all our beliefs and all our knowledge concerning him to think of God like that, as though he is like man, can be bought for his love. He loves us because he pities us. Not because there is a fee or a price when he comes to us as the great physician. He instructs us, teach us his word, his law, gave us his laws and his commands because he grieves. He is saddened to see our ignorance and because he knows the sorrow of it. And desire us to learn of him. But his laws and his instructions are not given in order that we may each one bring our school fees to him. Just like students do when they go to school. No. God labors or God works through his Holy Spirit. It is true. But none shall say that he labors for a pay. Though if he asked the whole world, every one of us, to pay for his divine works, he has every right to demand or to claim that. The very best works of man are nothing compared with the wonders of God's work in Christ and by Christ. True, the prophet Isaiah did say, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied.
And Paul says there was a joy that was set before him, before God, before Christ, for which he endured the cross, despising the shame. Yet the love that lay at the bottom of it all was love unbought and love unsought, and love in which not so much as a simple or a single atom of anything like selfishness could ever be discovered. Brethren, the pure stream of God's love to us sinners, is like the crystal, and there is no sediment that can be found in it. No mixture. It is altogether unmixed. Unmixed love to undeserving sinners. Purest of the purest love. Can you fathom it? Can you understand it? Let us also know that if Christ's love could be won by us, by something we could bring to him or do for him, it would suppose that we, human, man, woman, boys and girls, that we possess something that was of equal merit and of equal value with his love. Or, at any rate, something which he was willing to accept as bearing some proportion to his love. But no, indeed. Impossible. Impossible. That there is nothing of the sort. Impossible. Gold and silver and precious stone and even the best of our effort, the best of our sacrifices that we are prepared to make for Christ can never be compared to the love of Christ for his chosen people. Think of it a little bit further in this way, brethren. Is it not a great blessing that we, unworthy, undeserving, people who rebel and turn against God all the time, have the love of Christ, though we could not purchase it? Think of it. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, has loved us. He has bestowed upon us what he never would have sown us. He has given to us freely, without money, without price. And beloved, this love is no new thing. He loved us long before we were born, when his foreknowledge stretched us out in his mind's eye, and he beheld us, and he looked at us in love. He proved his love too. It was not merely contemplative love. I repeat, Christ's love for the church, Christ's love for his people is not contemplative love, but it was practical love. For he died for us before we knew anything of him or were even here to learn about him through his word. His love is of such a wondrous kind that he always will love us. Again I ask, do you understand it? Have you experienced something of the love of Christ for you? When heaven and earth have passed away, and like a scroll, the universe shall be rolled up or put away like a worn-out cloth, Jesus will still love us as he loved us at the first. The greatest wonder of this all is that this unpurchasable love, this unending love, is mine, is yours who are in Christ. And you, my brethren, you and I who are in Christ can always say, each one of us who are the blood-bought children of Christ can say, and if you have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you can say this,
this love is mine. The Lord Jesus loves me with a love I never could have purchased. Can you say that? Therefore, do not think, do not try, do not wish that you can purchase the love of Christ or exchange something for it. Do not try to purchase it or even do something to earn the love of Christ. Abandon that idea at once. It is vain, it is futile to think of purchasing the love of Christ in any way you could imagine. However, that does not mean we have nothing to do or nothing we can do for Christ. Yes, we cannot purchase Christ's love. Yet there is something the true Christian, the genuine believer, born of the Spirit of God, can do and ought to do for Christ. Jesus says this, and you are familiar with this verse, simple, yet so difficult to live out. If you love me, or if ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14 verse 15. And then also, John 15 verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So if you are a born-again believer, you will not only confess your sin, but you will also repent of it with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. And you will renounce that sinful habit. And you will strive to be strict, to be diligent in your pursuit of holiness, as God is holy. You will be attentive to all your Christian duties. These and others you can do and must do and ought to do. And you do it for the glory of His name as a believer. But, when you have even done all this, do not think that you have done enough to earn or to win Christ's love. It's the servant who has only done what he or she ought to have done, entitled to the love of his master's heart because of that? Think of it. No, you shall not win Christ's love in this way. Look at John 14 verse 15 again, which I read to you just now. If ye love me, keep my commandment. Notice the first part. If ye love me, it does not say if you want to earn or procure Christ's love or win Christ's love, keep his commandments. You obey the commandments of God out of your love for him. And in gratitude or thankfulness for what he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. You see the difference? So take back your gold, take back your silver, take back your time and energy and effort that you think that you have sacrificed for Christ, that you have put in to pay or to earn the love of Christ. Take it all back. How dare you to think so low of the Lord Jesus that he can be bought with money or anything else in this world or even in heaven, that he can be bought. If you have such a thought, I urge you, my dear friends, brethren, repent of it, seek his forgiveness, walk with him with renewed love in your heart. This takes me to another truth, and which is this, our second point. The saint's love of Christ is not purchased by spiritual gifts. I repeat also, The saint's love for Christ is not purchased by spiritual gifts. The love of the saints, the love of the Christian to Christ, is not given to Christ because he gives us his gifts. He blesses us with many gifts. No, let me explain what I mean. We love the Lord Jesus. We love him. We love him all the more. We do not deny the fact that there is such a thing. We love him more because of many spiritual gifts or gifts that he bestowed upon us. Just that indeed, you will be on a human level if someone has done you a great favor or helped you in a great way. Surely, your gratitude toward that person is higher, so to speak. Yes, for Christ too, we do not deny that we love him all the more because of many gifts that he bestowed upon us. But his gifts do not win our love. And I will show you why. Let me explain it to you this way. All that Christ, all that God has given me today, given you, he gave me many years ago. He gave you many years ago. The covenant of grace was always mine. I heard the gospel preached to me. Someone God sent to give me or to share with me the gospel. And from the gospel, I know that Christ died for me and that he had loved me and gave himself for me. Truly, Christ has done all this for me. He had poured out his blood for my redemption, cleansed me. And he promised also not only to forgive my sin, but to remove from me the guilt of sin. Yes. And I believe it. I did not think of it as any consequence. Then the preacher also spread out to me and tell me as a believer now, God bestowed upon me spiritual gifts. The gifts from Christ, every spiritual blessing from heavenly places in Christ Jesus is mine. And I saw that he had given this to those who believe in him. I saw it. I understood it. But I did not think of them worth concerning. I brushed it aside. I only believe it up in my mind, not in my heart. I turn away from all these spiritual gifts. Or whatever blessing that the Lord gave to those who are his. You see, what I needed most. I needed his blessed Holy Spirit to show me the value of the gospel of Christ. And above all, to show me. Show me what? Just the gospel? No. Show me Christ himself. Show me the person of Christ. Show me Christ himself. Yes, it is Christ himself who wins the love of our hearts. If he has not given us himself on the cross, we should never have given to him ourselves. Do you see what I mean? All else that may be supposed to be of treasure from his heart, of my house, all the treasures that I have, including his spiritual gifts, would not have won your heart and my heart to him. Until at last we learn this truth. What is that truth? It is the Spirit of God that made us feel the force of it. And what is the force of it? He loved me and gave himself for me. It is not he loved me and gave his gospel for me. Yes, I know from the gospel that he gave, but you must receive him. Not receive the gospel per se. You must have him to be your Savior. It is the person of Christ. My beloved is mine and I am his. Psalm chapter 2 verse 16. will then, as the Spirit brings me to such an understanding of who Christ is, then my beloved is mine and I and his will be the sweetest sound in our ears. The bride, the church, does not say his crown is mine, his throne is mine, his breastplate is mine, his scepter is mine. No, he says, my beloved is mine. Who is this beloved? Christ himself. And I am his. You see that? She delights, meaning to say the church delights, the people of God, the bride of God delights in everything that Christ has as a king, as a priest, and as a shepherd. But above all else, that which wins your heart, that which charms you, is this. He is mine, and I am his. If you don't quite understand it, I suggest pray about it. Go back and meditate upon this text and ask the Holy Spirit to give you a deeper and a fuller understanding. But the point is this, brethren. The Christians or the saints' love for Christ is not dependent upon God's gift to us. You get it? The Christian or the believer's love for Christ is not dependent upon God's gift or Christ's gift to us. Look at the case of Job. The devil was a liar when he said to Job, or he said of Job to God. The devil, Satan, told God this. Does Job fear God for not? Meaning to say, you mean Job really fear you and reverence you and love you for nothing? Has thou not made an hedge about him, the protective hand of God over him, and about his house, meaning to say his family, and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, Job's work, and his substance is increased in the land. But now, Satan is telling God, put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face. Job 1:10-11. And I'm sure you have read that before. And so you see, brethren, we do not love God altogether for what he gives us in this world. We love him because he first loved us. And we do not pretend, of course, let's not try to pretend, to have reached a high state of disinterested love in Christ, in which there is no gratitude mingle with it. We do not deny the fact that as God bless us materially, we are thankful for all this material thing. But that is not dependent on that. You see? Indeed, we must be thankful and we must acknowledge all that we have, the material, the temporal things, all that we desire, car, house, whatever, a big bank account. Yes, we are thankful. It's, we do not deny the fact. As also I mentioned, or rather I put up in our church article, this person who wrote this. We do not deny the fact that God does bless his people with material things when they obey and follow and walk in the way of the Lord. But still, temporal things never win our hearts' love to God. There are many people who have health, wealth, big bank account, and many other things that they desire so much. But such things never make them love God. Is it not true? All this rich tycoon, Bill Gates and what have you, George Soros or whatever, whoever, whether in Singapore, I read the news right now, Singapore will be the top on the list of many millionaires in the whole world. Singapore will top the list that has the most or many millionaires in Singapore. But did they love God? Did they come to Christ because of that? No. You love them and make idols of them very readily. But they do not lead you to love the Lord Jesus. But the true child of God, who do love their dear Savior, can tell you that they do not love Him because of what He gives them or what they can get out of Christ. For if God takes from them, they love Him still the same. The true Christian, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, can join with Job to say, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see? Do you understand it right now? They do not love Him simply because He caresses them. But bless them. He loves, or they love, he or she who is a Christian, a genuine believer, loves the Lord even if He chastened them, applied the rod of correction on them heavily. They will still love Him and kiss the rod that God brought upon them to smite them, just like He did to Job. So you understand now, brethren, a true believer do not love God merely for the substance of His house, merely for all the blessings, the material blessing, but they love Him for Himself. They love Jesus for who He is, because His Holy Spirit has sealed that love in their hearts and have created in them a new nature, and has put within the Christian such a principle that he cannot help but to love Jesus. Even if he should call to pass through very difficult trials, and there are many Christians who have gone and still going on in great trials, sickness, diseases, trampled upon, persecuted, but yet, went through the valley, walking through the valley right now, and yet, still, they love Him and rejoice in Him. So we ask, brethren, how much do you love the Lord Jesus? Or we ask, what do you love the Lord Jesus for? Is it because you can get something out of Him? Particularly material blessing. My text reads, "If a man should give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt." By this test, by this verse, by this principle, you shall be proved. By this trial, affliction, it shall be known whether you can stand firm in the evil days. God grant that you may, brethren, for our Lord Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we must confess that we are unable to plumb the depths of Christ's love for us. O Heavenly Father, we pray. We pray nevertheless that Thy Holy Spirit will give us a deeper and a fuller appreciation of the love of the Lord Jesus for us and what He has done for us on Calvary's cross. O Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy help, and that in this new week, as You have so graciously granted us a new beginning to walk with Thee, we pray for Your Holy Spirit to continue to teach us, to teach us Your love, to teach us Your gospel, to show us, to give us a fuller view a deeper understanding of the love of God for undeserving, sinful, wretched sinner. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, that we have this love that we cannot and could not and never be able to purchase. In Jesus' name, Amen.